There's five key things that I'd probably say contribute to this confidence. And I would have to start with leveraging the growth mindset and finding new challenges. I think part of that is also surrounding yourself with the right people. The people in my life, I love them to bits because when I don't celebrate my wins, like I know they will, and they'll be like, what do you mean? You graduated, like we should go out to dinner, or like we should catch up, or you need to take a beat and like acknowledge this big win. Like I remember even after, this might be an unpopular belief, but I like the nerves of doing something for the first time.
There's something sick with us, Elena.
Like I know a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to do that. Like I'm scared and I'm nervous. Like, and I'm like,
bring it.
100%.
From stuck to unstoppable, cultivating self-confidence in the workplace.
Welcome to the Marketing Mentors podcast brought to you by Red Pandas Digital. I am Tasha, joined by the, I should have got this word before we started, but I want to say the elegant Elena.
You and your alliteration.
I was going to say eclectic, but I don't think eclectic's a nice word, is it? I can't remember. I'll look it up later. But nonetheless, we have got the lovely Elena here today. Linda is out sick, which is a shame, but she did get engaged. Just wanted to let everyone know that's listening. So for anyone that was interested in Linda, too bad, she's gone now. But Elena's still on the market. No, I'm joking. Elena's also taken. That's not what we're here for today. What Elena was saying was awesome. Can you say that again for me?
From stuck to unstoppable, cultivating self-confidence in the workplace.
I love it. I love this idea of stuck to unstoppable, cultivating self-confidence. It's something that I think you and I have both gone on similar journeys over the years of gaining new confidence, trying new things out, realizing that they didn't quite work, but that adds to self-confidence. Before we really get into it, though, there is a reason why Elena and I are talking about this topic. And without getting too emo on you, I know I can get there, is Elena came to Red Pandas quite a few years ago now, and we'll get into more of how many hats she was wearing and juggling in her own life. But when she came to us, she stood out like a incredibly, amazingly beautiful sore thumb because of just her attitude. And what I saw from the beginning was this young woman had an amazing amount of confidence. And I was like, how did you have so much confidence at such a young age? But as we get to know Elena and the things that you're going to share with us in this this episode, we're going to see why. Because of your mindset and the things that you do. And what I've also seen, which I, you know, as I've grown as a leader and as a team member, you have grown just as much. And watching you go from, you know, digital marketing, you were never junior, but it was this idea of like new to the industry, digital marketing consultant, to where you are now, you know, leading a team of what we call your minions, the digital marketing producers, everyone. They're not actually little yellow minions, but, you know, leading your team and killing it with your clients, bringing in new revenue stream for the business. Like all of that can't be done without a level of obviously confidence in oneself. So we're going to get into that in a moment, but I wanted to just embarrass you a tiny bit because I know how much you love compliments.
I think I've gotten better with receiving compliments.
Yeah, see, you have.
My face isn't all scrunched up like a sponge.
Yeah, no, you're very professional with taking a compliment. Elena used to do this weird thing with her face and like move her head to the side.
Like there was this move. Like, oh, that was you. The thumbs up period.
You're doing great. So with that said, let's get into some of those tips around cultivating self-confidence, Elena.
All right. I feel like just to sum it up in the most like concise way, there's, I feel like, five key things that I'd probably say contribute to this confidence. And I would have to start with leveraging the growth mindset and finding new challenges. I think one of the first books I ever read, I want to backtrack a little bit for this one. I hated reading as a kid. Like I was just not very good at reading. In terms of like, I was really slow, so I just did not like it.
Just on that note though, Elena's multilingual, so it makes sense that reading in like English, if it was English, is going to be more challenging because you had to go through multiple languages to figure out how to read that.
A little bit of that, but even when I was reading in Russian, I was always like the slower reader.
Yeah, fair enough.
I've always taken and written information a bit slow. But one of the first books I read, which kind of set me on this path of like growth mindset, is a book by Dr. Carol Dweck, and I hope I'm not butchering that name. And the book's called Mindset. So she is a psychologist at Stanford University, and she identified two core mindsets and their beliefs. So essentially, it is how people approach challenges. Mm-hmm. One is a fixed mindset, so the belief that one's abilities were carved in stone and kind of you have them from birth. Yeah. Like you kind of don't change that. You are who you are. Like those people who say like, I've always been this way.
Yeah.
It's like,
we know people like that.
If that works for you, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But to also identify there's another group of people who have the growth mindset. And that's the belief that one's skills and qualities can be cultivated through effort and perseverance. Mm. And I never really got like why some people had the fixed mindset and growth mindset. Obviously, I only got that language after reading that book. But I even looked at everyone like in my life and I was like, I didn't realize I had the growth mindset until I kind of read this.
Yep.
But it makes a lot of sense. Like if you think your abilities are fixed, you kind of don't want to challenge yourself because you're like, oh, like my strengths are my strengths and my weaknesses are my weaknesses. So like I'll kind of keep to that.
Yeah.
But I feel like all of us at Red Pandas, like that's why I loved joining this team. And like the more I got to know you guys, the more like I loved you all as well. Is because we all have like this growth mindset and it's not the easiest to find in people, to be honest. Like I have very few friends that even have that growth mindset because they're like, oh, I'm not very good at this, so I won't try it.
Oh, it irritates me so much.
So much.
Honestly, Elena, I agree and I resonate with that. Like as I've gotten older, I would say it's either time's gotten less, but also you just don't connect with people that don't want to have open and growth mindsets. Like I don't want a bar of it, right? Like I'm very busy over here growing my mind and pushing myself, sometimes too much, but we're going to talk about that in a moment. But I call me arrogant, whatever you want to say, obnoxious. I don't want to be associated too much with people that are fixed because it rubs off on you.
It really does.
It rubs off on you. That's why like people at Red Pandas will not last long if they've got a fixed mindset. We've actually, I think, finally found the way of interviewing where we don't get them through. So woohoo, finally. It took 6.5 years. But yes, I cut you off. Please keep going.
No, I just think that growth mindset is just so crucial as one of the key five things.
For building confidence.
Yeah. Like always being a student is like at the core of that. Yeah. And I feel like even before I learned these things, I always wanted to be like the dumbest person in the room.
Yeah.
Like you would have seen me in high school, like I would have done like extension 2 maths and extension 2 English just to feel like the dumbest person in the room because I knew that would challenge me to like get to the top or the middle of the class.
Then Elena gets to the top and she's like, okay, what's next?
Yeah, what's next?
No, I you know what? I totally get it. And that's where like I think you and I are similar in that we're always doing – like every 3 to 6 months there's something new going on in our life, whether it's a dance class or a powerlifting competition or moving to France. Like there's always something new and unknown in our lives happening. And I think that's part of our growth mindset. And I truly think that contributes to, I'm going to speak collectively, but our confidence. I think the fact that we constantly put ourselves in a position where we don't know what's going on and we don't know how we're going to achieve this outcome, but we're going to do it, is why we have the confidence we have.
Yeah, and honestly, this might be an unpopular belief, but I like the nerves like so of like doing something for the it's first time.
There's something sick with us, Elena.
Like I know a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to do that. Like I'm scared and I'm nervous. Like, and I'm like,
bring it.
100%. I love it.
Yeah, I can't say I live for it, but I definitely appreciate where it takes me. I think that's I know that when I'm in that space of super nervous and the unknown and not knowing how it's going to turn out, that is the growth. You know, we always say, there's a few sayings, right? When's the last time you did something for the first time? That's one of those. Stepping out of your comfort zone, getting out of that box that you live in, doing something you've never done before, like all of those sit in that growth mindset realm. And every time you do something, whether it be a small thing, you are scratching away at that confidence booster because you're like, oh crap, I've done this. I can do that. I've done, oh, this reminds me of that time that I did this thing. So you end up with this really long resume of random shit you've done, but it's also why your confidence is maybe higher than those around you, because you're constantly putting yourself in those positions.
And not only that, like, you're not stuck, because, like, when I feel the most stuck, I'm like, I know that it's time for a next challenge. Yeah. Like, if I feel, like, sluggish and, like, I don't know where I'm going, it's that's when I know I'm, like, I'm either not living my values or challenging myself, or it's time for the next step.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I love that one. I think we started with that one because it's probably the most powerful.
Mm.
But there are a couple more that we're going to go into. And the next one is celebrating your progress, no matter how small, as well as tracking your success so you can see how far you've come. This is a good one. I think when it comes to celebrating your wins, as ambitious people, it can be tricky for us sometimes because we are so ambitious that it's not so much as like the win's not enough, but we achieve the thing and we're on to the next thing. We achieve the thing. We don't give it a moment to actually appreciate how hard we worked for something or how far we came. So that's like it's a strength and a weakness, right? We're ambitious, but we also need to take a moment to reflect. And that's where things like, and we've spoken about this in these episodes before, but like journaling, reflecting, carving out time with a mentor, a colleague, a friend, a partner to actually talk about some of your successes and just taking a moment to be grateful for them and just acknowledge what you've done and how far you've come. Even an episode like this, Elena, where we've talked and spoken about your growth at Red Pandas, like that is an opportunity for you to see how far you've come.
Definitely.
And that is contributing to your confidence.
I think part of that is also surrounding yourself with the right people.
Yep.
Like the people in my life, I love them to bits because when I don't celebrate my wins, like I know they will, and they'll be like, what do you mean? You like graduated, like we should go out to dinner, or like we should catch up, or like you need to take a beat and like acknowledge this big win. Like I remember even after like the They Ask You Answer summit, I was so busy and wrapped up in the summit that once it was over, I was like, okay, cool, next thing.
Yeah.
And then my whole team was like, that was a really big thing you did. And I was like, oh yeah, it was.
Yeah. Leonard hadn't planned, you'd done small events, but then I remember sitting down with her saying, I've got a challenge for you. Are you open to it? I want you to plan this event. It's minimum 200 people. We've never run one before. What do you say? And she's like, give it to me. And honestly, best event Red Pandas has ever seen. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, that's what I mean. Ambitious people, growth mindsets, they will work hard. They'll take on the challenge. They'll do the thing, but can sometimes stop, not remember to stop and appreciate and acknowledge that success and how far you've come. I think in those moments when you do that, you work on that confidence, and it kind of, if I can give a jiu-jitsu metaphor, it gives you some stripes on your belt, which builds that confidence in the skills that you're doing. You kind of like, okay, cool. I know what I'm doing. I know how to do this move. I've done it before. I'm a master at this. On to the next thing, because I've got that foundational knowledge or experience.
The foundational knowledge is key.
Yeah.
And like for me, the way I started celebrating progress, like this is a starting point for me, not what I do now. I mean, I still do it now, but I do more. How I started is like an end of year, start of year, like sit down for like 2 hours, and I have 50 questions that I go through. I think I shared them with you one time.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a lot, but it gives you the time to reflect on every area of your life that like is important to you and see where you're at and like how much you've grown. And most of those 2 hours, I'm sitting there and thinking rather than writing, because I'm like, I actually don't remember. I need to think about that one. And it gives me the time to like reflect upon that time. Since then, probably the last year, what I've started doing is having like monthly check-ins with myself, like one day a month or half a day.
one hour a day.
Hey, no, that's really, much
really
for me.
Them, to be honest, sometimes it gets so stressful in life. Anyway, yes, one day a month.
One day or half a day a month. Yep. I give myself like a self date.
Nice.
And I just go do something for myself, like no responsibility to other people. Nothing. It's just like I've done this day for me. It is purely a date for myself. And just have fun. I do whatever I want to do, whether that's painting, going to the beach, like going rollerblading. I don't know, yeah. like something just
rollerblading. Sorry,
new skill I'm learning.
Yeah, so random. Of course, you're learning how to rollerblade. Anyway, I do. I love that, Elena. I think that's amazing. I can often neglect that for myself. And then it gets 2-3 months down the track and I'm like, I can just blow up. So I know that, yeah, I probably need some more me time. And I think when we say me time, I don't think it's necessarily go to the gym by yourself. I think it's what you said, like do something that is completely, like it's not so much as a chore, but it's because working out's not a chore. Like I genuinely enjoy it, but it's something that's out of your normal routine.
Yeah.
It's out of your normal routine. It's different. It challenges maybe a different part of your brain, like rollerblading. Or for me, painting. I don't paint. So I think, you know, lately though, when Zoe, my child's been drawing and painting, I'm like getting into it. I'm like, maybe I should try like a painting class, you know, just something different.
Definitely. Why not?
Yeah.
It works that creative mind side of your brain that we don't always get to exercise at work because we're so like strategical and tactical in our roles.
Yeah, true.
So definitely need that sometimes. I miss that. Like that day or half a day or even a couple of hours for you should be practicing a different part of your brain that you normally don't use. That's why like my half days are usually rest because like even outside of work, I'm always go, like thinking about other people. 100%. So I need that rest time
For myself. I actually get that so much because it was like last Friday that I think I ended up taking a half day. Because I just needed some time to do that and like not have to engage my mind in anything. And it was glorious, but I couldn't do that often because, again, ambitious people, we just get sick of ourselves doing that. Anyway, moving to our next one, which is seeking feedback. We love feedback at Red Pandas, positive and constructive. We've spoken about it. We've actually had podcasts. I think we've had podcast episodes about every single one of these items
separately
and then this one's kind of bring them all together and like really packaging them up because this is how you're going to get confident getting feedback from we'll start with peers because we're obviously in a work environment but getting feedback radically candid feedback so remember radical candor is from that book Kim Scott's radical candor book and it's about that top right quadrant which is direct so very direct feedback from a place of care. So radically candid feedback is I'm giving you this feedback because I care about you and I want to see you improve or grow, whatever it is, and it's just direct. Like there's no beating around the bush. It's to the point. So getting that type of feedback from your team is going to be huge. Like we said, both positive and constructive. Constructive being, you know, things you might need to change or shift in working towards you becoming more confident. Because if you get that feedback from your team, the people that you work with every day, not the people you're selling to or trying to please or retain, you're in a safe place. If you've got a nice psychological safe environment like we do here, when you get this radical candid feedback, it just makes sense. And it's a safe place for you to receive it and challenge it if you need to challenge it, ask questions if you need to ask questions about it. What do you say on feedback?
I think the way I have kind of evolved with feedback is definitely I value and love your radical candid feedback like randomly, but I think the way that I seek it nowadays, like on top of that, is actually just being like, can I soundboard you? Or like being like, I need like 15 minutes of your time. I don't know how I'm going to approach this situation. And then I go into that meeting and I'm like, this is everything I want to say. This is how I want to do it. This is what I want to do. How did that sound? And you're like, why didn't you need me for this? And I'm like, because I needed someone to sound like you said, soundboard before I went and executed that. Yeah. And part of that like psych safe environment that we have is the ability to do that so that you're more confident when you do whatever that you need to next.
Yeah, it's a really good interpretation. I actually didn't think about it that way. So I like that Elena will – so for those of you that don't know, Elena is in – I want to say my team. We're all in A team, but Elena's kind of like my direct team member in a way. We do one-on-ones with each other every week, check in with each other, make sure everything's going well. That's kind of like the relationship. But I what Elena will do with me often is every now and then, hey, T, can I run something past you? And more often than not, you run something past me and I just go, yeah, it's perfect. Well, that's better than what I could have done. And, yeah, I think you're right, that feedback that I give you in that moment, even though it's almost like it's validating, right?
Yeah, it's like a sense check.
It is. You know what you need to do. And I think I've had this conversation with you many times. You know what you need to do. I'm here for you to soundboard that, sense check that, validate that. And as a leader, as your leader, that's something that I take really seriously. Like if you had said something to me in those moments that I didn't think was a good idea, or I've made a mistake before doing something like that, that's where radical candid feedback comes out.
Mm.
And I'm like, Elena, I like that approach, but I will try X, Y, Z. If I was really good, I'd try and coach you to it. And that's a whole other level of communication, right? Like coaching you to get to the thing on your own without me just telling you. We're all working on things. But that's, yeah, I appreciate that other angle of looking at getting feedback.
I think this also kind of links into the next thing,
mm-hmm.
which is acknowledging imposter syndrome.
Mm.
Like it's real, and having a soundboard kind of helps you with that. Like that's the first part of addressing imposter syndrome and feeling stuck, is like making sure you have some soundboards that you can be like, what do you think of this?
Yep.
And have the room that if it's not down the right path, someone can be radically candid with you and say, like, these are the holes that are missing.
Yep. Yeah, imposter syndrome. That was our very first podcast episode, funnily enough, and it keeps coming up. It must be a hot topic at the moment, or we're all kind of really feeling it, so we keep talking about it. But it's, yeah, to Elena's point, I think ambitious people are always going to struggle with imposter syndrome because we are always wanting to achieve and do more. And it's the awareness that you might be experiencing imposter syndrome. And like what Elena was saying, having someone you can soundboard it with. And now that's, you know, you might be a business owner and leader and not have someone necessarily, quote unquote, above you that you can soundboard off. So like mentor groups or peer-to-peer mentor groups is where that is good for. And if you are a leader within the organization, you might have peers in your circle that you can soundboard things off of. And if you have, if you are also a leader and people are looking up at you for things and you don't have someone to speak to, that's when you can have mentors, whether they're inside or outside of work, you can have someone that you can do that soundboarding off. Everyone's going to suffer imposter syndrome. I would say I have it weekly when it comes to the role that I'm in. I'm often going, are you sure I should be doing this? Like even as a mom, I get moments of imposter syndrome. Like how am I responsible for someone's life right now? Do you know what I mean? Like it's crazy, but it is what it is. And you work your way through it. You have colleagues, friends, partners, acquaintances you can talk to about the things in your head. And like I know women definitely need to talk to process things.
Definitely.
And so if you're a woman listening to this, make sure you're talking about these things because it helps process. And what I've actually learned recently is men, it's like been scientifically proven. I've read this in Maggie Dent's parenting book of Mothering Our Boys, is that men actually need more time outside to process information. So even if they're just sitting on like a lump of wood in the grass, that will help them process stuff. I don't know, it must be something in hormones and testosterone. I'm not sure. But that's my very much butchered down version of probably that actual stat, but whatever it is, take time to process your imposter syndrome because it's probably not as bad as you think it is, and just talk through it with someone, reflect, journal, whatever it might need to be.
I honestly think imposter syndrome is a healthy thing. Like, let me explain why.
No, I can see why.
I feel like a lot of people will be like, oh, but I don't want to have imposter syndrome, but it's like, it's kind of letting you know that maybe you don't have all the information and you need to sense check yourself.
Keeping you humble.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the word I was thinking of.
It's keeping you humble.
And it comes in situations when your like knowledge and experience gap is there.
Yeah.
So you need the knowledge and you might not have it, which is why that imposter syndrome is kicking in. And it's like maybe you need to gain more knowledge, whether that's through a mentor, like research, doing a course, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have the knowledge and you haven't had the experience and that's kicking in, that's your time to just like have those experiences and use that knowledge, because like the more you use that knowledge in experiences, the less that gap becomes. Yeah. Like I remember so many times that I had imposter syndrome and it's like the first calls with clients and then like the first like times I took on PSOs, which are like our HubSpot coaching clients, or like the first time I did like literally anything, like
literally anything.
It's like that experience gap is there.
Yeah.
And if you get into the experience and you realize you don't have the knowledge, it kind of highlights to you like, oh, I need this bit of information.
Yeah.
It's a valuable tool to assess yourself and like what gaps you're having essentially.
Yeah.
Or a time to practice using those skills as well and knowledge. Yeah.
100%. There is one last one. We skipped over it. We're going to come back to it because it's a good one. And that's so remember, we're working on cultivating self-confidence in the workplace. We've spoken about getting feedback, acknowledging imposter syndrome, celebrating your successes, leveraging growth mindset. And the last one that we're going to talk about is learning to set healthy boundaries.
I feel like that's a good one to finish.
I think too. So, especially the things that we've been through, right?
Definitely.
So I know from my perspective, being a full-time working mum has its challenges, and there has to be boundaries set in my work life, in my mum life, in my like my friend life, like every role that I play in my life, I have to set boundaries because they intertwine, right? I'm only one person. I don't have Well, maybe I have multiple personalities. I don't know. Who knows? Obviously, we'll be showing up tomorrow. But there's boundaries that must be set. Otherwise, I can't be, and I've said this before in episodes, I can't be the best leader the business needs me to be. I can't be the best mum my daughter needs me to be. I can't be the best husband, wife. I'm a woman. Wife, my husband needs me to be. That'll be a good meme as well. Thanks, Jerome. So setting these healthy boundaries for me allow me to have confidence in the role that I'm playing today as a leader at Red Pandas. And then when I go home, I've got boundaries that work turns off and I turn into mum, I can be the best mum I can be. I can be confident in my abilities and my skills to be a mum. So that's how I interpret that, and that's how that works for me. I definitely know you've got some experience here. Mm-hmm. So please share.
As much as I wish I could have a clone of myself to do all the things, I think that's the main key out of the five things that we've talked about that I didn't have when I first started here.
A clone? Or?
definitely that. But I mean healthy boundaries.
Yes.
I was doing three jobs and studying.
This woman.
And I was loving all of it. But I also got into like a serious relationship at the time, and I started to really feel everything all at once. And it took a long time to take everything off my plate. Cause like loading things onto your plate, really easy, really quick. But then loading it off mm-hmm. is the hard bit. So it took me, I think, 6 months to say no to one of the jobs. And then another 6 months on top of those 6 months to say bye to the second one. So I was down to one job. And then my extra studies, I think it took me like a year and a half to get that off my plate. So now I'm with one job. And wow, the boundary setting with like taking those off and then setting some boundaries with my partner, with my family.
With yourself.
With myself.
Because like, you're the one that signed up for all those jobs, right?
And you know what? At the time, I was really grateful that I went through that and I had that experience. But I'm also now like at the age where I'm like, I've matured.
You know better.
And I know better. And I'm like, my energy can be spent better elsewhere. 100%. But I needed to go through that to get there.
Elena, no one could have told you that.
And if anyone did, I wouldn't probably have listened. You would have told
me to bugger off. I'm telling you, because no, we're the same. The same thing happened with me. And I do remember people telling me, no, Tash, you can't commit to all those things. I still have people telling me, like this, even this week, people in my life that say, maybe you should slow down. And I'm like, F off. I'm not going to slow down. But you know what, Lena? Maybe in 6 months' time, I'll look back and be like, maybe I should have slowed down. No one's going to tell me. That's the stubborn but ambitious people we are.
Definitely.
And I think it's a weakness and a strength, but I'm going to lean into that as a strength and just learn from my experiences. And I think that's what you're talking about. No one could have told you to not do that 3 years ago. No,
definitely. Even like in this role, like it took me a while to understand that like I need help. Like
Elena, I need help.
Just for context, like on the accounts that I am and the role I'm doing, I was the main thing that was doing everything. Some support here and there, but then as time went on, I started to realize like I need like a producer to assist me with all the things I'm doing rather than just like keep taking more responsibility and more responsibility without an extra person.
Yeah, it was almost like the same thing. Not having multiple jobs, you just have multiple roles at Red Pandas in a way. Lots of multiple hats. And then you just weren't kind of expanding the resources of helping. So that's your growth there, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You've done that before just in a different context and now you did it, but you did it smarter. You got the help you needed. You got the minions that you have now. Elena's minions. Yeah, awesome. You want to add anything else onto healthy boundaries or gaining your self-confidence for our listeners?
I think the only thing I'll add is I feel like my biggest source of self-confidence has been like amazing like women in my life and like bosses or like friends who are like in the industry. So like you, Soph, Moby, Linda, like
Moby's an amazing woman.
I said women and then I said leaders and bosses. For the record,
Elena just called Moby an amazing woman. I love that. I think that's amazing. Yeah, I agree. The sentiment is very, very much mutual.
Yeah, like you need someone to fill different buckets. And this is something that Sophia, our CFO, taught me very early on in me working here. And what she taught me is that no one person can fill all your buckets. And I started to like see all my relationships that way. Like every person fills different buckets. Like you fill different buckets, Soph fills different buckets, Linda fills different buckets, Moby fills different buckets, and so do my relationships like outside of work. And I think understanding those relationships, going through those key five and building those relationships towards their buckets has lifted my confidence because like I know who I am now and like I also know all of these things and I have sounding boards in different areas of my life.
Yeah, I love that. That's some good advice, everyone. I hope you're listening to what Elena has to say. And it's been a pleasure having you on Marketing Mentors. I think definitely we should have you back again and again and again. Hashtag no more Linda. No, I'm joking. I love you, Linda. but with that said, check out our website for the show notes as well as probably some links to some of the things that we've talked about. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, fears, worries, or objections about anything that Elena and I have discussed today, hit us up, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, honestly, anywhere on the internet, we'll be there. But otherwise, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, T. It's always a pleasure to be here.